So tonight, what we wanted to do was orient you a little bit with the program itself. What is OCIA? What does it mean? What is the process? What does that look like here at St. John's? And what are you going to expect? We'll also go through various resources that we have for you. I hope everybody has a binder, a Bible, and a catechism. Can you raise your hand if you do not have that? Perfect. Okay, great. All right, so we're going to get started. So what is OCIA? What is OCIA? OCIA is an acronym for the Order of Christian Initiation of Adults. And it's the process through which adults and older children who are interested in becoming Catholic learn about the Catholic faith, encounter Jesus, and discern whether God is calling them into full communion with the Catholic Church. So I want you to think of OCIA as more than just a class on Tuesday nights, more than just a program that spans from August to May, but rather it's a journey, right? It's a journey of encounter and conversion, of prayer, formation, community, and discipleship. We're going to be doing all of those things this year. So buckle up. Our goal is not simply to learn about our faith, to learn about Catholicism, but our goal is to come to know and follow Jesus and enter more deeply into his life through the church and through the sacraments of initiation, baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. So who is OCIA for? You're going to be hearing these terms very often. OCIA is primarily for catechumens, or people who have never been baptized and will prepare to receive baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. Candidates, those baptized Christians who prepare to enter into full communion with the Catholic Church. Candidates do a profession of faith, they're confirmed, and they receive First Communion. And the third group, who is with us tonight, are Catholics who were baptized Catholic, but have never received some of the sacraments of initiation, right? So we have some who will receive First Communion and confirmation, and some who will receive just confirmation. What I want you to remember, though, is that every person's journey is very unique. OCIA is designed to meet you where you are and to help you take the next step towards Jesus. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, establishing that relationship. I wanted to talk a little bit about the history of OCIA. So OCIA is actually a very ancient practice and a very ancient way of being initiated into the Catholic Church. We first start with the early church, the first to the third centuries. And as we move through this very brief history, again, I just want to impart on you and impress upon you that OCIA has its roots in the very earliest centuries of Christianity. And so when we go back and when we mine a lot of the early Christian fathers, we'll hear some of these elements which have been put together by Vatican II to create what we now know as the Order of Christian Initiation for Adults. And so while that name and structure has developed over time, I want you to know that the basic idea is very ancient, right? So those who are seeking baptism are gradually formed as disciples, introduced into the Christian community, and then they're prepared through prayer, through instruction, conversion, through different liturgical rites, before they're being washed in the waters of baptism, confirmed by the Holy Spirit, and then admitted to the table through Eucharist. So from the beginning, it was actually understood as a process. I know that a lot of our Protestant traditions understand baptism as kind of a one-and-done situation, one and done deal. Once you're baptized, you're in. But rather, Catholics understand baptism as that first part of the process where we're put into right relationship with the Lord, but then we are continually saying yes to the Lord every single day of our lives, right? And so we enter into a process of salvation. Now, I wanted us to look at a document called the Didache. The Didache, or it's also called the Teaching of the 12 Apostles, is one of the very earliest Christian writings outside of the New Testament. We see that it was written around 50 to 100 AD, so about the same time that the Apostle John was still alive. And it gives us a glimpse into the early Christian life. It includes instruction in moral living, prayer, fasting, and baptism. And so this is a quote. "Now concerning baptism, baptize as follows. After you have reviewed all these things, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in running water. But if you have no running water, then baptize in some other water. But if you have neither, then pour water on the head three times in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so it's kind of neat to see how this tradition is 2,000 years old, right? And we already start to see baptism as something that is formulaic. In the third century, we see a more developed process. We see that instead of this instant conversion, the early church actually required a very strict and a more prolonged catechumenate, or time of catechesis. So in the third century, this is becoming a little bit more structured, right? In the apostolic tradition, which is attributed to Hippolytus of Rome, which is about 200 AD, so about 100 years after the Didache, we see that there's a structure that kind of starts to emerge. There's an initial evaluation where new converts were interviewed regarding their motives and occupations, right? Seeing whether or not they were compatible with the Christian life. Then in some churches, in some pockets of Christian communities, we see that there was a 3-year time of catechumenate, 3 years to study and to learn how to be Christian, to learn that discipleship. Before baptism, they were given a final examination. And Hippolytus says, quote, "When they are chosen who are to receive baptism, let their lives be examined, whether they have lived honorably, whether they honored the widows, and whether they visited the sick." Right? So this is as early as about 200 AD that we see this. After the final acceptance, or after the final examination, they're accepted, and then they can receive the sacraments. So there has to be a positive report, right, from the people who have entered into this process with them and said, yes, they're attesting to the witness of faith and the witness of these people who are asking to be Christian. And then they could advance to the final immediate preparation of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. In the fourth century, so about 100 years after, we're seeing that this is called the golden age of the catechumenate. So during this time, the church has also been elevated to an official religion of the Roman Empire. And it becomes increasingly connected to the liturgical year, right, to Lent and Easter. And so Lent is the time of immediate preparation for those who are going to be baptized and entered into the church at Easter. Does that sound familiar? Because it kind of like coincides with what our schedule is. So St. Augustine, we have writing on that, says that those who are uninstructed must be catechized, interviewed, and then they can enter into the church. So fourth century is very, is flourishing. We see a lot of adults being baptized, confirmed, come to Eucharist. And as they are living their lives, they're having children, right? They're having children. And so then the question becomes, what happens to their children? How are they coming into the church? And it's really around that time that we see infant baptism happening, right? Because these Christians who have studied, who have been formed, who are so in love with the Lord, want that same thing for their kids and to be able to raise their children in that same way. And so it's about 4th, 5th century that we start to see infant baptism coming about and starting to happen. And around this time, about 5th, 6th century, we see a lot of high infant mortality rates too. And so we want those infants, they want those infants baptized so that they are assured of a place in heaven. Around this time also, because infant baptism is starting to become more of the norm and adult baptism is starting to kind of decline a little bit, we see that there's a separation of the sacraments that are celebrated. So priests then baptize, and then confirmation is reserved for the bishop when he comes to visit periodically. And we'll get into this a little bit more as we go through the history of the church in our later classes. But let's go ahead. I want to take a 5-minute break, try to fix my presentation, and then we'll come back and we'll finish up. Okay, so 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and finish up. Okay, so moving on to kind of conclude our historical perspective of OCIA. I know that you guys are all riveted to this. What I'd like to talk about, and the reason why we now celebrate, the reason why we now use this as our initiation process, is that we had the Second Vatican Council in 1962 to 65. They recognized the value of this ancient practice and called for its restoration. And up until this point, for about 40 or 50 years, there was kind of a return to trying to read those original documents. And in mining those documents and reading those, all of this information came about that we really didn't have before. And so Vatican II fathers came together and they saw this as so important because OCIA, the process, really emphasizes the process of discipleship. So what they did in 1972, because the church, by its very nature, moves very slowly. So the Second Vatican Council introduces this idea of restoring OCIA, and then it takes about 10 years to figure out how to do that. So in 1972, they restored this process that includes 4 stages: evangelization and pre-catechumenate, or another word would be inquiry, the catechumenate, purification and enlightenment, and then mystagogy. And so those are the 4 stages that we have now of OCIA. If you will look at, we have a packet that says, I think the beginning of it says, what is OCIA? Yeah. Do you see that? What is OCIA? Okay. Understanding OCIA. There we go. Okay, and that kind of goes through the history a little bit more. And if you will turn to page 2. So flip that first page over and turn to page 2. That's going to tell you a little bit about the 4 stages of OCIA. So the first stage is what we call the pre-catechumenate, or inquiry. And that's really what most of you have been in. At some churches, it can be a very formal process of classes and sessions. At other churches, like St. John's, this is more of an informal process. So it's kind of been through your own individual prayer and discernment, examining and exploring the Catholic faith, and realizing and discerning that this is something that the Lord may be calling you to, and wanting to investigate that more. So that's this first stage called the pre-catechumenate. The catechumenate is really what we're starting tonight, which is an intense time of catechesis, meaning to teach. And so this time, This time is when we're going to dive into what the Catholic Church teaches a little bit more deeply. So tonight is going to be this overview. Next week, Father Jones will be with us, and he's going to dive right into divine revelation. How does the church understand scripture and tradition? Then after that, we're going to talk about covenantal theology. Then we're going to talk about the Trinity. Who is God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? What did Jesus Christ do for us? We're going to talk about the church. What are the four marks of the church? What does the church do? Who is the church? We'll talk about the seven sacraments. We'll talk about Catholic social teaching, Catholic morality, all of these things, the Beatitudes, the Ten Commandments. This is going to take us all the way up to Lent. And Lent is going to, we're going to change a little bit and from kind of drinking out of a fire hose of all of this knowledge sort of thrown at you. And we're going to turn during Lent to a time of retreat and reflection. And so this is going to be a time where we're going to examine where the Lord is calling us, how the Lord is calling us to enter more deeply into his love and his mercy. And is the Lord actually calling you to complete your initiation at the Easter Vigil? Okay, so that's during Lent. For those of you who are already baptized, Lent will be the time that you will receive first reconciliation, that you'll go to confession for the first time. Okay. The end of purification and enlightenment is actually the Easter Vigil, when you will receive the sacraments and become initiated into the Catholic Church. But it doesn't end there, right? Like I said, the Catholic Church loves process. It doesn't end there. We enter into a fourth stage called mystagogy. And this stage is called mystagogy from the Greek meaning mystery. And that was actually one of the words that the early fathers used to describe the sacraments. And so mystagogy is going to be this time where we start reflecting on everything that we've learned and how we've been formed and how we've been changed over the year, especially during the Easter Vigil when we've received those sacraments and become part of the church. And how are we going to integrate that into our daily lives? So how am I going to become a missionary disciple, right? Not just one who follows Jesus, but one who invites others into that same life-giving relationship with the Lord. And that will take us up to the end of our time together. But for you, that'll stretch out into the next year or so as you become more accustomed to being part of this parish community, hopefully at St. John's. I would like for us to go over the syllabus right now, because that's going to kind of dive in a little bit more deeper into those four stages and all of the different things that are part of those stages. Okay, so, and I appreciate your patience with all of these handouts. Next week, we'll actually have dividers for you, so you can kind of divide them up. So this is what you should be looking at, the syllabus, okay? Okay, so tonight is August 25th. Welcome to the journey. And then we're also going to have a time of reflection and prayer on the road to Emmaus in a little bit. Like I said, next week, Father Jones will dive into divine revelation. After that, Deacon Robert is going to talk to us about covenantal theology. Deacon Richard, after that, will talk to us about the Trinity. Monsignor Novak will be giving the presentation on the 22nd on Jesus Christ, the center of the Christian faith. This is also going to be a night of sponsor orientation. So for those of you who are sponsors who have not been to one of our orientation meetings over the summer, or for those of you who have yet to pick a sponsor or ask somebody to be your sponsor, September 22nd will be the night that we will ask for them all to come so that we can talk to them about their responsibilities and expectations for this year. Okay, so make a note of that. Then we're going into the Holy Spirit and Life of Grace. Thursday, October 1st, we will ask to have all of the baptismal certificates and affidavits due, as well as who will be your sponsor. Now, picking a sponsor is very important because as I said, during this journey, really emphasizing community and relationships is something that's very important. And choosing a sponsor, somebody who can accompany you throughout the year, but then also beyond that, who you feel comfortable with talking to about things of faith, who you feel comfortable meeting with and going over things and exploring things with them, will be very important. Sponsors have to be Catholic. They need to be at least 16. And they also need to be Catholics in good standing, meaning that they are actively practicing their faith. So for those of you who know people in the parish or who already know who you would like to ask to be your sponsor, that's fantastic. I need their name by October 1st. For those of you who are new to the parish or who may not know people who are Catholic, don't be worried. We actually have a pool of sponsors that you can either choose from. We'll match you up with somebody, or a lot of our facilitators in this room who you'll get to know between now and then are also sponsors too. So we have plenty of time for you to kind of make that choice and ask people into that relationship with you. Then we're going to go into the church. Monsignor is going to talk to us about the church. Father Jones, then we'll talk about the last things, eternity and Christian hope. October 20th is a treat. Monsignor Novak is going to take us into the church and do a tour of the church. And then we're going to do something called, we're going to practice something called the rite of welcome and acceptance. So one of the things that the church does is it actually gives us some touch points to check in with you and to see how you're doing in prayer and discernment, and whether or not you would actually like to continue on this journey of learning about the Catholic faith and learning about Catholic discipleship. So before October 20th, I'll probably check in with you to see how things are going. If you do want to commit to continuing the process of learning and being formed, then we will ask you to participate in something called the rite of welcome and acceptance. And this will be done down at the church with your sponsor, if they're available. And it's just a time of Monsignor Novak, as representing the church, accepting your commitment to learn more and to be more of a part of the process. Now, keep in mind that at any time during this process, you can say, I need to take a step back. The Easter Vigil in 2027 may not be for me, or I need to discern more, and this may not be where the Lord is calling me to. So I just want to assure you that at many different times during this process, we'll be checking in to see how that discernment is going. So the 20th, we will practice the rite of welcome and acceptance, and then the 27th, we will actually have that rite of welcome and acceptance. We would like your sponsors to attend if possible. Sometimes they live out of state, out of town, and are not able to come, which is fine. We can always have somebody stand in proxy. Your friends and family are welcome to that, and then we'll have a reception here in the Great Hall afterwards. So instead of having a regular Tuesday night class or session, we'll have the rite of welcome with a reception afterwards. Starting that weekend, November 1st through March 14th, we're going to have something called Breaking Open the Word. So Tuesday nights are really going to be a time of learning about the faith, a lot of intellectual head knowledge. Sunday mornings, starting on November 1st, are going to be a time of diving into Scripture and asking the Lord to speak to you in a way that is speaking to your heart, and a way in which you can, number one, get to know people outside of your table on Tuesdays, but also, number two, really start having a relationship with God's Word through Scripture. And so you'll be able to pick two different times to go, either before the 9:30 Mass or between the 9:30 and 11:30 Mass. So the two times are 8:30 to 9:15, 10:30 to 11:15 a.m. For those of you who have children in the program too, they're going to have their own children's Breaking Open the Word at those same times. So you'll come to the adult one, and then they'll come to the children or the teen one. Okay? We'll have more information about that as we get closer. November 3rd, we're going to start our journey into the sacraments. So we'll have all of these sessions will center around the sacraments up until Christmas. Now, note that on November 17th, we do have another sponsor meeting. Okay? Friday, January 29th, we have an optional mass and tour of Catholic Charities. One of our deacons, Deacon Dave Ashton, works at Catholic Charities, and we've gone a few years ago. We went and celebrated Mass there, and then he gave us a tour and told us all about the great services that Catholic Charities offers. And then we went to lunch afterwards, so it was really fun. And if you're able to make that would be great. February 1st, your saint name will be due. And again, kind of talking about having a community around us, Catholics believe very firmly that we have around us all the time angels and saints. And that is very much a part of our tradition. And so we ask that for confirmation, you choose a patron saint. A saint who will walk with you, whose spirituality you resonate with, and who you can really kind of tap into. February 9th will be a Catholic Social Teaching. Monsignor Novak will be leading that, and we'll also have another sponsor meeting. This year, we're going to have more sponsor meetings because I would like to meet with the sponsors to kind of walk them through and touch base with them about how it is that they are accompanying you and making sure that they have certain touch points and opportunities to bring their questions and bring their experiences together and walk with one another as they're accompanying you. That brings us to Lent. So Sunday, February 14th, it is Valentine's Day this year, we have something called the Rite of Election. And the Rite of Election, this is going to be that touch point where I ask you if you are going to journey to the Easter Vigil and be received into the Catholic Church. So by that time, I'll need an answer from you about whether or not Easter Vigil 2027 is going to be the time that you come into the church. If you say yes, then everyone in the Archdiocese, so this is everybody from the Panhandle to Oklahoma City Metro, from Oklahoma City Metro down to Ardmore, everybody who is going to become Catholic gathers at the Blessed Stanley Rother Shrine with Archbishop Coakley. So there's about 2,000 people there. And that's where he officially accepts your commitment to journey towards and through the Easter Vigil and be received into the church. So it's a really beautiful day, and it's a beautiful ceremony. And that'll be Sunday, February 14th. That's going to kind of mark our turn in our sessions from learning about the Catholic faith to start internalizing it more. And so we're going to do something that's called the 10-10 Challenge as tables. And it's 10 weeks of 10 Catholic discipleship habits. So what are the prayer habits? How do we pray? How do we enter more fully into the sacraments? How do we understand community? How do we understand who we are as Catholics? And so we're going to be diving into that more during Lent. Saturday, February 27th, we are going to have a retreat. I'm hoping that we'll be able to get off campus and maybe go someplace else for the retreat itself. Within the next probably 2 or 3 weeks, I'll have a location and a time for you. And again, for those of you who have kids in the program, this will be for all of you. So everybody will gather together, and then the kids and the teens will have their own tracks. Okay? We will not have class on spring break, but we will gather together the Wednesday of Holy Week. And this is something a little bit new this year. Because Holy Week, the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday are the most important celebrations, Easter Sunday, the most important celebrations in the church, I think that it's really important for us to gather together to enter more deeply into that time of prayer and celebration, especially since most of you will be coming into the church in just a few days on that Saturday. So we'll meet on that Wednesday. Saturday, March 27th, we will have a rehearsal at 9 a.m. Monsignor is very efficient, so it's usually just an hour, so 9 to 10. But then we will expect you back at the church by 7:45 p.m., and we will begin at 8:30. In the past, the Easter Vigil has been about 3 hours. I can't guarantee that it's going to be 3 hours because we have probably about 40 more people than we did last year. So it's a long night, right? It's a long night, but it is a beautiful, life-changing, transforming night. And so just kind of be aware of that as we're going through this year, that is going to be a late night. Then, like I said, we're going to come back and do more mystagogy, we'll do more discipleship forming. And then we will end on May 4th, Tuesday, May 4th, with our OCIA dinner. And sponsors and families are welcome, and that will be here in the Great Hall. So that is our next 8 to 9 months together. Dates to remember. So I'm hoping to get a pilgrimage to Blessed Stanley Rother Shrine together, and I'll have more information about that. It will probably be on the weekend, and our group will probably be split up into two or three different groups. And then I'd also like us to do a service project together. And to serve the people in our community. So there'll be a service project opportunity at the Hope Center. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Very good. Okay, some of these other materials to look at. So your textbooks will be the Bible in front of you, as well as the catechism. Now, a lot of you that I've spoken to have said that you already have a catechism. That is amazing. If you already have a catechism, please leave the one that I gave you tonight, because I think that we may need all of them. You are going to be using those in tandem with this packet called The God Who Reveals Himself, Divine Revelation. Okay? So this is what you're going to be using weekly. It will give you the readings for the week, and it's also going to give you reflection questions. Okay, so for next week, we want you to read The God Who Reveals Himself, Divine Revelation. All of your scripture verses are there, and if you flip the page, you'll see the catechism reading, key takeaways from the reading, and then reflection questions. Every week we'll have about maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes of small group sharing. That small group sharing is going to be over these reflection questions every week, okay, before we dive into the presentation itself. I have two resources, how to use the catechism and how to read the Bible. And so you'll want to refer to those, especially if you're not familiar in reading the catechism. Okay? Okay. Okay, so just a few things to keep in mind as we're moving on into the next few weeks. I have had a welcome conversation with some of you. I'm going to continue to have those conversations just to meet you face to face, to get to know you a little bit better and your story. So expect to hear from me probably within the next 2 weeks, and we'll be able to set up either a meeting face to face or something over Zoom or a phone call. Like I said, for those of you who are baptized, we will need baptismal verification, meaning a certificate or an affidavit. We've talked about sponsors and godparents. So godparents are going to be the sponsors of the catechumens, okay? And then the confirmation name. All of this is also available in that packet that I gave you that you can kind of read through over the next week or so. Again, this is a lot of information. Don't worry about it. We're going to be going through it. I just want to make sure that you have it with you right now to read through at your leisure, okay? All right, we are going to take just a 2-minute break to let you get things into your binder, and then we're going to turn ourselves towards prayer, and we're going to end our time together in a moment of prayer and reflection before we leave and move on with our week. Okay, so just a couple-minute break, and then we'll come back, and we'll pray together.